And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was happening to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days he will rise." And James and John, the son of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. Perhaps it's happening in your neighborhood like it has been in mine for a while now, where our parks are, and we have got a place where there's all kinds of equipment in a big field, and then there's another park just a little ways away from our home, and we're seeing on those great big grass areas all kinds of teams assembled, whether it's football or baseball, and you can see coaches working with the kids, and you don't really see a mass of little boys rolling around all over the place fighting over who's going to be the quarterback or who's going to be the pitcher, but you see them fumbling around nonetheless while the coaches are trying their best to hone the skills of all these kids that are excited about being on the field, so to speak. While, as I said, you don't necessarily see the little mass of boys rolling around fighting and fumbling over their tasks, you saw just that in our gospel reading for today. Jesus is serious. He's on his way, carrying out his passion to save sinners from themselves and from the wrath of God and from the wiles of the devil. And as they go up to Jerusalem, Jesus stops and says, "See, listen, I got to tell you this." He's told them before. He's telling them again what the Son of Man is going to go through. And they're concerned about position. They're concerned about prestige and power. Sons of Zebedee come to him and say, "Lord, we want you to place us on either side when you come into your glory." Really? The disciples who hear the other disciples become indignant, like, "Oh, they thought of it first. It's our place. We wanted to be there." And so here they are, Jesus going to Jerusalem to fulfill God's love for us, and the disciples are fighting over and fumbling over their position in the mix of things. And that can be you. And that can be me as well. How many ways do we entertain ideas of self-aggrandizement. Boy, is that a word. Boy, I could do this and I could do that and everyone would like me with this and like me with that. How many ways do we find ourselves buckling into peer pressure? Because we want to be liked and we want to be accepted instead of doing the right things. How many ways do we fumble over all the ways that God has called us to serve the people around us where we find ourselves saying, I just need a break. I need to take care of myself. No more service for you. How many ways do we want to be served? Or have things our own way? Just like the disciples did with Jesus long ago. I would suggest that what took place long ago can take place today as well, as Jesus cares for his team on the field, you and me. Can you see yourself? Maybe you're just fumbling around an awful lot, not sure how to be in a marriage, how to be a parent, how to be a grandparent, how to work any longer where you're working because you're having it up to here. Maybe it's hard to figure out what to do with some of your neighbors. Maybe this is a complicated subject right here, St. Paul Lutheran Church. And it's hard to make sense of it. Well, that's what we see happening long ago. The good news is that there is one in the middle of that mess, and there's one in the middle of whatever mess you're in, and he loves you. It's fascinating to hear Jesus in these exchanges with the disciples. I mean, he's addressing them all in different ways, but in all the same ways. They need to understand that the kingdom of God is different than the ways of the world. I mean, think about it. The greatest of all came, took on flesh and blood, humbled himself, and became servant of all. Servant to you. Servant to you. And servant to me. God in flesh and blood, the creator of the heavens and the earth, came to serve you and me. Even if we are quibbling over whatever we're quibbling over, or struggling over service, whatever service we're struggling over. And Jesus would finish his service, and he would enter into his kingdom. And the ones on either side of him, when he went into his glory, were an unlikely two, to be sure. Perhaps there's a temptation in your heart and mind to think that the place is still open. As we hear about Jesus coming into his kingdom, we're tempted to think, perhaps I'll be on one side. But that's not what the kingdom of God is all about. It's Jesus loving us and laying down his life for us, the self-centered people we can so naturally be. The people that have visions of grandeur on what we can do and be. He has served us flawlessly and completely. And all of his benefits are yours and mine now through faith alone. And they're on tap for us to tap into as we face all the challenges that we face. And yet we know this good news, and it does shape our lives of service. Our collect for Lent 4 goes this way. Give us, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness toward us. Give thanks for all your benefits and serve you in willing obedience. We call that willing obedience the new life of obedience. I'm thankful I have a family that I can serve. Are you thankful you have a family? I'm thankful that I have a place where I work, where I can learn what it means to serve. How about you? I'm thankful for a neighborhood, although I miss my neighborhood back in California so sorely. But I'm thankful I have a neighborhood where I can learn what it means to serve. How about you? I'm thankful that I'm a part of a church where I can learn what it means to serve. How about you? But that's where there's a lot of flies in the ointment. We're tempted to think, yeah, if I had a better wife, I would serve more myself. If I had kids that actually would obey and listen, I would be more of a servant to them and grandkids. And if I was in the kind of church that I really liked, then I could really make a difference. I mean, how many ways do we play the games of self-aggrandizement? Boy, that crazy term. Visions of grandeur for ourselves. No, perish all those thoughts. And embrace the life you have. Serve where you're planted. And be served by those around you who believe as well. Embrace the life you have. The marriage, the kids, the grandkids, the job, the neighborhood. Because that's where God has us. And we do want to serve. We want to make a difference. Not to earn our place in God's favor, because we have God's place in God's favor through Jesus and what he's done. And so we serve. Because he first served us. And even now the Holy Spirit's at work within us. Wednesday night we talked about the life of new obedience and how Jesus was obedient to the point of death and how his obedience is now bestowed upon us by God's grace and mercy. And yet this is also the truth. We are all going to obedience school every day where the Holy Spirit loves to train us in what it means to be in our lives, whatever that may be, across the spectrum of what our lives are all about. So keep learning, keep growing, and keep trusting in the one who has made you great by what he's done. To think, God came to this world to rescue me. To think God came to rescue you. He came and took on flesh and blood. He did what we could never do. He suffered the most. He endured the most. He served the greatest. He served you to make you the greatest in his grace, mercy, and love. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.